If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning there, once again, I want to welcome all of our visitors. In the seat in front of you, we have a map of our facility. On the other side of that map, we have a visitor form. We would love to hear from you personally. There's a place for your information, comments, prayer requests. We would love to hear from you. Drop it off at the Welcome Center after service this morning. Also, if you're here today and you need prayer, if you could, how many of you could just say, I could use a little prayer today? Listen, I think we could all use some prayer. If you're here today and you need prayer, we have a prayer team, a group of men and women. They're going to be lined up across these steps after service this morning. They'll be available to pray for you. So I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, see one of our prayer counselors today before you leave. We would love to pray for you. So today is the first day that we're doing instant CDs of the service. So that means that by the time I finish in prayer, we should already have some CDs available. So if you would like a CD, go through the double doors, take a left. It's going to be under our left stairwell. We're giving out CDs, and they are absolutely free. Okay, if you want a cover, the covers are $30, but I'm just kidding. The CDs are absolutely free. Listen, too many times, churches have a reputation of trying to make money, trying to make a dollar, trying to sell something. And, I like what the apostle said, freely we've received, we're going to freely give. Do you believe that this morning? So we're going to give it out freely. We want everybody to have CDs. And if you know somebody who doesn't go to church, will you please, please, please take them a CD, because on every CD, we're going to give people the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make the decision to personally follow him, all right? Okay, so you can stop by and get your CDs this morning. It's like gospel fast food. You can't have it your way, but you can't have it right away, all right? So Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The title of my message this morning is A Living Sacrifice. Will you pray with me today? Lord, we thank you again for your presence in this place. Lord, it is an honor, Lord, to come here this morning to worship together. Lord, to worship you, to praise you, God. But most of all, Lord, to grow in our understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and minds to receive what you would speak to us this morning. And God, anoint my lips, God, to speak your word with truth, power, authority, and love. God, may your word go forth unpolluted by the opinions of man. Now, Lord, may it accomplish what you desire it to accomplish today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're continuing a series called It's All in Your Head. Look at somebody and tell them, it's all in your head. In this series, we're going to deal with the issue of the mind. And all too often, problems in life can be traced back to a wrong attitude or a wrong mindset. Listen, the way that you think determines who you become. I don't say that. The Bible says that in Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Some people say you are what you eat. I say you are what you think. So many times, wrong decisions, problems, and issues can be traced back to bad choices, wrong mindsets, or wrong attitudes. It's what Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking. Somebody say stinking thinking. So that's what we're going to deal with over the next few weeks, is the issue of stinking thinking. And our main scripture for this series so far has been Romans 12, 1 and 2. And last week I talked about God's mercy. Last week, if you were here, we talked about having a mercy mindset. Has anybody said, I've adopted a mercy mindset this week? Come on, two of y'all. The rest of y'all need to get the CD. We'll give it to you for free, all right? But listen, we as Christians need to have a mercy mindset, because far too many times, Christians kick people while they're down. And we, of all people, should be people of compassion, mercy, and restoration. Last Sunday, I shared the true story. Right after the Civil War ended, President Lincoln gave an address from the White House balcony, and he overlooked a large crowd, and he talked about his plans to rebuild the nation. And after the speech, his good friend Senator Harlan called up and said, "Mr. President, what shall we do with the rebels?" And before President Lincoln could even open his mouth, people in the crowd started shouting, "Hang them! Hang them! Hang them!" And all of a sudden, President Lincoln felt a tugging on his coat, and he looked down, and his son, Tad, was standing behind him. And he looked up, and he said, "No, no, Papa, don't hang them. Hang on to them." And what a powerful illustration of the mercy mindset, because so many times as Christians, when people fail and they mess up and they fall into sin, what do? We want to hang them. We have a hang them mentality. Make an example out of them. String them up. Punish them, right? But God is calling us to hang on to people. It's our job. It's not our job to condemn. It's our job to tell the truth, but it's not our job to condemn people. The Bible says that Jesus didn't even come to condemn. He came to save. So it's our job as Christians to restore people, to love them, to show them mercy. Amen? All right, so we talked about, last week we talked about what we think about other people, but today we're going to talk about what we think of ourselves. Are you ready for it this morning? So we're going to pick up where we left off in verse number 1. It says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Now pay close attention. I'm going to read that one more time. "I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Notice the sacrifice that God requires, our bodies, okay? And can I be real with y'all this morning? Can I just be honest with you? Can you keep a secret? When I read that verse and I see that God wants my body as a living sacrifice, my first thought is, God, really? Don't you want something a little bit nicer than this body? Don't you want something a little newer and a little better condition? Don't you want something a little less hairy? I'm descended from Esau, I'm just saying. But listen, I don't know if you think that, but when I think about all the things in this world that I could offer to God as a sacrifice, this body is the last thing on the list. Okay, Lord, why do you want my body as a living sacrifice? Don't you want something a little less greasy? Listen, when I wake up in the morning, I get out of bed, you see my outline in the sheets. Why? Because when I fall asleep, my body just starts oozing oil. I don't know why, but that's just the way I am. And listen, ExxonMobil could make a fortune off of me. So when I think about the sacrifice, I'm like, Lord, this you don't want this greasy old thing. Listen, I fell asleep a few years ago on the beach, and I woke up 2 hours later, and the environmentalists were trying to save the seagulls. That's how oily I am. But I think, God, why do you want my body as a living sacrifice? The truth is, we might not think much of our own bodies, but God does. And it's actually the sacrifice that he wants from us. 2 Corinthians 5:10, something interesting just popped out to me this week studying. It said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So guess what? God has actually given us these bodies, and we are responsible how we use them. Come on, look at somebody and smile at them. And just tell it, y'all, listen, y'all got to help me preach, because this is a tough crowd. I'm going to start giving out coffee next Sunday. Listen, look at somebody and help me and tell them, say, God gave you your body, and you better use it right. Thank you, hallelujah. All right, come on, y'all starting to wake up today. Listen, God has given us these bodies. And they might not seem valuable to us in our own understanding, but they are extremely valuable to God. He cares about our bodies, and he wants them to be a living sacrifice. Okay? God has given us these bodies, and we're responsible for how we use them. Now, let me get you to think for a minute. Just look at those double doors back there. And I want you to envision yourself walking through those doors and coming into this church service right now, okay? I want you to think about this. I can't speak for everybody, but I guarantee you that 99.999% of you would never walk through those doors and bring pornography into the sanctuary. I guarantee you that most of you would never come through those doors and use foul language. What's foul language? It's cussing. I guarantee you most of you would never walk through those doors and start cussing in church. I guarantee you, promise you, that most of you would never even think about coming through those doors and coming in this church and committing adultery. If you did, our ushers, okay, they would jump you and throw you out, so don't even think about it. But I guarantee you, most of you would never even think about doing something like that. Most of you would never walk in here on a Sunday morning holding a 40-ounce King Cobra in one hand and a six-pack of beer in the other hand. You just wouldn't do that, right? Most people wouldn't do that because they have a mindset that this is the house of God. This is the church. I would never do those things in church. I would never dream of doing those things in the house of God. I would never think about doing those things in God's house. But I have to ask you, is this God's house? Is this building the house of God? This building, it's true, this building was built for the worship of God. This building was built for the people of God to preach the gospel and to teach the word of God. We should be reverent here. We should honor this place. But there is a place that is much more sacred and much more holy than the building that we're standing in this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The Bible says that you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So those things that you would never dream of doing in God's house, yet far too many of those things are being done every day in God's true house. For the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this is not the church. This is a church building. This is not the church. This is the church. Come on, somebody, just do this. Come on, say, this is the church. Okay? You are the church. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are commanded to honor God with our bodies because your body is a sanctuary. Listen, I've heard people say before, you know what? You're going to get struck by lightning for lying in church because this is holy ground. Listen, if God struck us with lightning every time we lied in church, we'd be dropping like flies, my friend, because this is not the church. This is the church. This is the temple of God. That is the temple of God, not this building we're in. Our bodies are His temples. And God is calling us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. If you wouldn't do it in church, don't do it in your body. Because it is the true temple of God. Ephesians 5:3 says, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. As the people of God, we are called to honor God with our bodies. You don't understand. When you became a Christian, okay, the Holy Spirit was your real estate agent. And He was sitting there, and the moment that you gave your life to Jesus, guess what? The Holy Spirit signed the deed over to Jesus Christ. This body is not yours anymore. It belongs to Him. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting this morning, but I'm going to say it anyway. We ought to honor God in our bodies because our bodies are the true temple of the Holy Spirit. Like I said in the beginning, a lot of problems in life can be traced back to the wrong thinking, and this is a big one. We think that this is the church, but there again, we have to have the mindset, the understanding of the truth that this is the... Come on, do that again. Look at somebody and say, this is the church. Okay? Like it, don't like it, I don't care. This is the church. It belongs to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he doesn't discriminate on the outer appearance? I better keep on going. So my prayer this morning is that we as the people of God would adopt the mindset that we are the temple of God. This body belongs to him. Come on, tell somebody, I am the church. So God cares about our bodies, and it's the sacrifice that he wants from us. And here's the great thing. This is the best part about the whole thing. We get to be a living sacrifice. I don't know if you have read into this a little bit, but you ought to just jump up and down and shout for joy at that word, living. We don't have to physically die to please God. Aren't you glad for that? Come on, it's a good thing because there wouldn't be very many Christians. Can you imagine if I was up here with a guillotine saying, won't you come to Jesus this morning? Come on, we don't have to physically die to be a sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I thank God he wants us to be a living sacrifice. But the problem with the living sacrifice is that you can put it on the altar, but because it's alive, it tends to crawl off the altar. Come on, that's the danger. Listen, if we went to the chopping block, we'd stay on the altar. We'd never commit sin. We'd never dishonor God with our bodies. But the problem with the living sacrifice is that it tends to crawl away and sneak away from the altar. And it's our responsibility to keep the sacrifice on the altar. God is calling us to be living sacrifices. Listen, God is not talking about our bodies being a sacrifice for sin. I want you to understand that this morning. That's not the kind of sacrifice that God requires of us. You see, Jesus was the sacrifice for sin to end all sacrifices. So this is not supplemental to what Jesus did. Jesus alone is our salvation. But what kind of sacrifice does God want us to be? The kind of sacrifice that's used for worship. The kind of sacrifice that's used for worship. And I'm warning, I'm going to make you uncomfortable a little bit this morning, but all throughout the Bible, worship was a physical action. When you look at expressions of worship in the Bible, guess what they involve? All this. When you look at how people praise and how people worship, there were physical outward expressions of that worship. And this morning, I just want to kind of go through a few ways that we can physically worship God with these living sacrifices. Are you ready this morning? All right. Number one, Psalm 47:1. Y'all have already done this. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. One of the ways that we praise God is by clapping our hands. And some of you guys, you clap on beat. Some of you, you just clap. But either way, it's all right because we're giving God praise when we clap our hands. Why do we clap our hands? Because Jesus always deserves a round of applause. Do you believe that? Come on, let's just clap our hands and praise him this morning. Lord, we praise you with our hands this morning. So that's one way that we praise him. We clap our hands. Here's another way. Psalm 96:1. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. How many of y'all live on the earth? That includes you. Because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among the people. This is another way that we physically praise God. We sing songs of praise to Him. That's why the first thing we do when we come in Sunday morning is I don't come in and preach to you as soon as you walk through the doors. No, we put first things first. We sing to the Lord. So this is another way that we physically praise Him. Maybe you don't have a beautiful voice. Maybe you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Maybe you're a terrible singer. Don't worry, there's a scripture for you. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. So listen, it doesn't have to be pretty. It can just be a noise, and guess what? God will still be glorified. Notice it says in that verse, it doesn't just say make a joyful noise to the Lord. It says make a loud noise. Can I let you in on a secret this morning? Okay? Can I tell y'all a secret? Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. I just want to warn you. I want to warn you before you get there. You might want to tuck some earplugs in the pocket when they bury you and bring some headphones, because heaven is not going to be a quiet place. Revelation 19:1, I heard the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. It's going to be louder than any concert you ever went to back in your heathen days. It's going to be loud. It's going to be more rowdy than any basketball game you've ever attended. It's going to be wilder than any football stadium on this earth. When we get to heaven, people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue are going to be praising God together with a loud voice. Come on, let's just give somebody a preview of heaven and give them a loud praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you this morning. We lift up your name. We magnify you today. We give you glory, God. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to the party, because heaven's going to be a celebration like nothing you have ever seen. So for those of you who are quiet and reserved, and you give the Lord a golf clap of praise, I just want to warn you that heaven is not going to be a quiet place. There may be quiet times, but there are going to be some loud times too. So just, you've been warned, okay? So when you get to heaven, don't look at me and say, you didn't tell me it's going to be loud up here. I just want to let you know. All right, so we praise God out loud. Here's another way that we worship. Psalm 134:2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lamentations 3:41 says, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. And I like what David said in Psalm 63:4. He said, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Did you know that some people actually teach that you can't lift your hands in worship? Anybody ever been taught that, ever heard that before? There it is actually a lot more common, I would say, in our area than in other parts of the country. But people actually teach that you can't lift your hands in worship. And they use 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. Paul says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay, now that kind of sounds like we should lift our hands, right? But people say, well, you know what? We can't lift up our hands because we're not holy. Well, first of all, that verse is talking about praying, not even talking about worship. But second of all, according to my Bible, we've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. That word sanctify means made holy. So according to my Bible, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we are able to lift our hands in worship because we're not made holy by our own righteousness. We're made holy by His righteousness. Come on, let's just lift our hands and just worship the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift up these hands and we worship you. Can I give you my personal take on lifting hands? if you are being chased by somebody, okay, and they've got you cornered, and they take out a big old gun and they point it at you, what do you do? Here's what you don't do. You don't say, I know karate. You don't look at him and say, I'm going to Judy kick you. You don't pull out your knife, okay? If they have a gun and you don't have a gun, what do? Why? Because this is the universal sign of surrender. And sometimes when I lift my hands in worship, it is actually me. Okay, the Holy Spirit has backed me up in a corner, and he's got the gun of the anointing, and he's saying, you know what? I'm convicting you about this. You know what I do? Okay, God, I surrender. And I believe that every one of us, periodically, we ought to take time in worship and throw up those hands and say, okay, Lord, I surrender. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. Come on, let's just say I surrender this morning. Lord, we surrender to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's one of the reasons, one of the ways that we can worship God with these bodies. I'll give you one more, then we'll go. Okay, one more. Last one. Psalm 150, verse 4 says, praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Now, I'll be honest with you. The timbrel, I like. Okay, Lord, that's good. I like that one. Stringed instruments, I like that. I'm good with stringed. Okay, Lord, I like that. Psalm 50. Okay, so timbrel, stringed instruments, flutes, those are great. But God, please don't make me dance. Listen, I've got rhythm in my hands to play instruments. So instruments, I'm okay. But somewhere between my hands and my feet, somebody didn't get the message. I suffer from a severe case of white boy syndrome because I cannot dance. Pastor Jay, don't sway, okay? Listen, I am not a dancer. Never have been, never will be a dancer. So I'm a little intimidated by this one, but what I want you to remember, listen, I won't dance for you, but I'll dance for Jesus. Here's what I want you to understand. When you physically worship God with these bodies, you're not worshiping the people around you. So don't worry what the person sitting beside you thinks of you, because I promise you they already think you're weird anyway. You don't believe me? Look at them. They'll shake their head. Yeah, I think you're weird. Come on, just look at them. Tell them I spilled the beans. Just let them know I already think you're weird. It's okay. So don't worry about what they think of you, because guess what? They didn't die on the cross to save you. They're not the one that you live for. They're not the one coming back to get you unless they dropped you off at church today. All right, so don't worry. When we worship God with our physical bodies, it's not about what people think. It's giving God the worship that he deserves. Because what I want you to understand is that if you have a body, and I think most of you here this morning do, God has given us these bodies as instruments of praise, as instruments of worship. So if you have never taken this body that God gave you and physically worshiped him, I want to challenge you to start to do so. Start to do so, because having a body and not physically worshiping God is like having a pencil that's never been sharpened. It's having a light bulb that's never been screwed in, okay? It's having a car that the ignition has never been cranked. It's like having a jelly biscuit with no jelly on it, okay? Some of y'all aren't getting my analogy. Come on. It's like having a jelly biscuit with no jelly. God gave us these bodies to praise him and to worship him. God gave you your body, but have you ever used it to worship? Hallelujah. God gave us these bodies to worship him. Listen, I was in prayer one morning. It was early one morning. I was actually up in the balcony right up there, and I was just in prayer and just minding my own business. Anybody ever been like that? Lord, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to mind my own business. And boom, the Holy Spirit came. And he opened up my eyes, and I had a vision of the sanctuary. Let me tell you what I saw. The first thing I saw is that everyone in this place was worshiping God. Some people were lifting their hands. Some people were bowed on the face, facing the carpet. Some people were praising God out loud. Some people were singing. But I saw everybody in this room worshiping God. And then I saw the cloud of the glory of God move in this place, just like it did at the dedication of the temple. I saw the cloud of the glory of God come in this place. And when the glory of God came in this place, I saw people getting healed of AIDS. I saw people who were wheelchair bound walk again. I saw people who were blind and their eyes were open. I saw people who could not hear and their ears were open. I saw people who struggled with depression for all of their life, and I saw them free in the presence of God. Mark my words, this church is going to be known for God's presence. Listen, it won't be known for how talented the musicians are. It won't be known for how beautifully the singers sing. It won't be known for how far Pastor Josh spits when he preaches. This church is going to be known for the presence of Almighty God. But the only way that we're going to get there is for us to take all this and start worshiping God with it. The only way that we're going to get there is take these bodies that God gave us, like them or not, He gave them to us. The only way that we'll get there is to take these bodies and begin to worship and praise Him. Hallelujah. We should be people of worship. Do you believe that? We should be people of worship, not only expressions of worship, but lifestyles of worship. Because everything that we do should glorify God. Listen, in the way that you talk to people, in the way that you do your job, in the way that you treat your family, in the way that you respond to people in need, in the way that you show mercy to those who make mistakes, we should worship God in all that we do. Because God loves it when we live a lifestyle of worship. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ." When we worship, we are a sweet aroma to God. It doesn't matter if your body is stanky in the natural. If you take it and you physically worship God, it is a sweet aroma to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma to Him. The Bible actually says that it's the fragrance of Christ. Come on, look at somebody and ask them, do you smell like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus? Are you living a life of worship? Almost done this morning. Let's look back at Romans 12:1 one more time before we leave. It says, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Notice that it says offer. It's your body. Offer it to God. Listen, success as a Christian is not about what you can get from God. It's not. It's not about what you can get from God. The truth is, success in Christianity is about what you can give to God. Second, well, listen, God has already given you everything. You can't get any more from Him than you've already gotten, because the Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given you everything, so you growing as a Christian is not getting more from God, it's giving more to God. So I want to ask you this morning, if you feel unfulfilled in your life, in your Christian walk, I want to ask you, how much of you does He have? Because the key is not receiving, it's offering. God is calling us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Almost finished. But that word offer in Romans 12:1, in the original Greek, it's the word peristemi. And it means to personally deliver. In other words, you're the only one who can do this. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to personally deliver and offer your own self to God. And here's a difficult truth that many people don't like to admit. You have responsibility for your own soul. If you didn't know, now you know. You have responsibility for your own soul. I've heard people say, well, my mama was a good Christian woman, so I'm going to be okay. Or my grandma, she was a good Christian woman. She was a praying woman. I know she loved Jesus, so I know I'm going to be all right. Listen to me. God doesn't have any grandchildren, only children. You're either a child of God or you're not. It's that simple. And you are responsible, you, for offering yourself to Him. Growing up in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian any more than sticking your head in a freezer makes you a popsicle, okay? I don't care who mama was or grandma was. I want to know, who are you? Because the truth is, when we stand before God, He's not going to ask us, what did you say your mama's name was? What did you say your granddaddy's? No, He's going to say, what did you do for me in that body that I gave you? We are responsible to offer our own lives to God. Come on, tell somebody, it's up to you. We are called to be a living sacrifice, but God has given us the responsibility to make the offering. Listen, just like when I can't do it for you either. Let me tell you something. I could stand up here and I could preach for 10 hours. And don't worry, I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to stop at 3. Okay, but I could preach to you till I am blue in the face, until I pass out on the floor. But if you don't take the Word of God for your own self and apply it into your life, it's not going to do you any good. Because we have responsibility for our own souls. Listen, I'm a firm believer that you could starve to death in the middle of a grocery store. I could lock you up in food line for 3 weeks and you could be dead as a doornail when I come back. Because listen, you can be surrounded by food, but if you don't take it and eat it for yourself, it won't do you any good. I threw that in free of charge today. I don't know who that was for, but listen, anyway, we are called to do the offering. Okay, you must make the offering to God. I can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. We can help you along the way, but you are responsible. So the word offer means to personally deliver, but it also means to give up control. It means to give up control. In other words, you're not running the show anymore. Number one in your life is not the same number one that you used to look out for. When you offer yourself to God, you're saying, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. I like to refer to Romans 12:1 as God's altar call, because God is calling all of us to take our lives and to lay them on the altar and to keep them on the altar as a living sacrifice. I love the old song. It says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? God is calling us. Not just on Sunday, but Monday morning. God is calling us every day to continually offer ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. I want to ask you, will you offer your life to Him today? Will you pray with me just for a moment before we leave this morning? If you're here this morning, you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you, make that decision today. So many people, I've heard people tell me time and time again, Pastor, I'll live for God. I'll follow God once I get my life together. I'll live for Jesus when I stop cussing, when I stop smoking dope, when I stop doing, listen, people give me a long list of things. They say, I'll live for Jesus when I get my act together. Let me tell you something. If you wait till you get your own act together, you'll never come to Him. Because the truth is, we can't save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is not something that you earn. It's not something that you can work for. The Bible says that salvation is the gift of God. Just imagine this morning, if Jesus is sitting in front of you and He's holding a gift in His hand, and just imagine Jesus is holding out the gift, saying, I bought this for you. I want you to have it. The truth is, Jesus is holding out, extending salvation, eternal life to every one of us. But it's up to us if we're going to receive it. Listen, I believe that somebody, this is your divine moment. This is your divine opportunity. This is your chance for your whole life to be radically changed. All you have to do is reach out and receive eternal life this morning. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've tried living life on my own. I've tried being in charge of my own life, and it was a terrible disaster. All you have to do is surrender to Jesus. Say, Lord, I give you control. Take the lead in my life. Listen, the Bible says those who trust in God will never be put to shame. No, I'm not going to promise you that all your problems are going to disappear, that you're going to be rich, that you're going to have all these things. But let me tell you something. You've got somebody in charge of your life who loves you, who cares for you, and who will never fail. No matter what you go through, God will never fail. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When you put your faith in Jesus, not only do you have the promise of a better life here on earth, but you have the promise of eternal life. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning, Lord, that need you, that need to make that decision to follow you. God, I thank you that you love them. I thank you, Lord, that you died to save them. Lord, I thank you that you led them here, that they're in this service this morning. They're listening online. They're listening by CD because you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And I thank you, Lord, that this is their opportunity. This is their divine moment. This is the day of salvation for them. Lord, I thank you, God. I give you praise. If you're here this morning while every believer is praying, if you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, if you want to make that decision to follow him, will you just lift up your hand this morning? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I pray for those who raise their hand. God, I pray for those who know in their heart that they need you this morning. Lord, I thank you that you love them, that you care for them. And I thank you, Lord, that you're calling them not to wait another day, not to wait another moment, but you're calling them right now in this moment to make the decision to put their faith in you. And I thank you, Lord, that when they take that step of faith, that their lives will never be the same. Lord, in Jesus' name.